Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hi, I'm Tane.
And I'm Aide, and this is Altar Call, a Married at First Sight podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of MAFS. This is not season 17 and not an episode. As Aide likes to call it, it is the former cast tell-all. Hi, Aide. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? And the only part that I added was the word former. Lifetime lists this as the cast tell all, which is quite confusing because it's not the current cast, it's former cast telling all. So yeah, former cast tell all.
I enjoyed this more than I thought I would, if I
same
do say so, because I was like, what else are they going to give us? But you know, we'll get to it. What do we have to update the people with today?
As we said earlier this week, we are looking for suggestions. I think last time I talked a lot about like different shows or stuff. I also, if you have like, I don't know, top five husbands, if you would like us to do something mass related, if there's something about Married at First Sight that you just have questions for us about, we might do that too. So please throw in your suggestions.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
And just to reassure you all, next week we will have a normal episode, reunion part one, on time, on the regular schedule.
Yeah.
And next week on Patreon, we will be talking about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, current season, which is season 8. Go to Patreon to see what we think of what's going on so far. All right, Tane, what is going on with the former cast members?
Well, I think the headline for this week is that Lindsay from the Boston season, part two, is engaged. Yay!
Her fiance is cute.
Sure.
Anyways.
Congratulations to Lindsay. She just got engaged. I think someone asked her, where did they meet? And she said, Hinge, the app that's meant to be deleted. That's still one of the greatest taglines. But congratulations to her and her fiance. Miles and Bennett are releasing a YouTube series together. And I mean, I think I knew that they were cool. I think I don't know what the relationship with Miles and Woody. I haven't been seeing a lot of that. They were hanging out together. But I mean, Woody has a lot on his plate. Because I was going to say, I don't see the New Orleans guys hang out all the time, like together as a group compared to the others. But anyways, Miles and Bennett are releasing a YouTube series. Not strange, but what was interesting was like the series is called Life is a Broadcast, How to Act on Reality TV. So basically, it's 10 short episodes of them giving people the tics and trips of the trade. Like how to get on reality TV, how to make the best of it. I'm sure it's normal. I guess I never saw it from both of them.
I don't think they're qualified. They went on the reality TV show that has the most normal people.
Yeah.
And you talked about this last time, how the other reality TV shows that have the repeaters, mass people don't tend to be on there. So I'm really confused as to why they... I will say this. Both of them left their seasons with their reputations mostly intact.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they may have some advice to offer there, but I don't think I would look to them for this.
It'll be interesting. If any of you, you know, sign up for it or have it, share with us some of the highlights. Because I'm like, yes, they have experience. Yes, they were in a season that was longer than most, that was during a pandemic and things like that, on how to get cast. But I'm just like, are they going to clarify? Is it going to be like a competitive reality show or just a regular show? Like, what tips and trips would you give to someone that was, I mean, I don't even think it's on air anymore, but like Bad Girls Club or something, or somebody who wants to go on Jocelyn's Cabaret Club? Like, there's no experience on that. So I'm interested to know what their niche reality show they're going to be talking about is. So, but also congratulations to them. Everybody make your coins the way you can, honestly. Speaking of coins, I think Steve finally published a book
that he's been
talking about, so good for him. And on that note, too, Mindy and Steve are still going strong. And then I guess on that note, Noi is going on her first brand trip, and she announced it. So, again, everybody get your coins the way you can, and congratulations to her.
Did she mention the brand, or she just said, I got a brand trip?
She did. I don't remember what it was because I don't know what the brand was. But she's very, very focused on skincare. And she was telling people the skincare that she's using or taking with her to travel.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of cast members hanging out, the San Diego girls had a Mexico vacation. Sans Morgan. But they all went to Tulum, Mexico, rented out a house and everything, and had a good time over there. Kristen posted a picture. I think it was one of her pictures of her in her bathing suit. And someone made a comment saying, Mitch fumbled the bag with this one. And Justin from the same season commented and just put the 100 emoji. And I'm like, what? Is he still messy?
Of course.
That was like unnecessary. And does that count as inappropriate?
I don't think it's inappropriate. I think even Mitch would probably laugh about him fumbling the bag with Kirsten. Yeah, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, I think Justin is generally annoying, but I'll give him that one. It's not that bad.
Yeah, and I think we say this all the time. Sometimes, maybe it's the truth, maybe it's not or whatever, but the big question is, was it necessary? Did you have to comment 100 on there? So, there's that. That's all I got for the people.
I just have one. Whenever the people start a YouTube thing, I know I don't watch YouTube, like, very rarely. And I don't, there's a whole audience of people out there who are just watching YouTube videos from their faves every week. And I'm like, not me.
Yeah, I have a number of friends who, that is their source of entertainment. Like, as much TV as I watch, and they say, oh, I don't watch TV. And I'm like, what on earth are you doing? They say they just watch YouTube. And then there's a whole world that I don't know. So I understand that it's not like, we're not like your audience. But I will say this. I was so enamored by the New Orleans season. And also, I was unemployed at the time. I did watch when Karen and Miles had a YouTube. And Woody and Imani, when they started theirs. I did watch a couple of episodes of theirs.
The thing you say about people not watching TV, I know a lot of people who seem to not watch TV, and then they start talking to you about a TV show and like, but how, you don't watch TV? And they're like, I saw clips on TikTok. People feel like they watch TV because they saw clips of a TV show they like on TikTok. And I'm like, you could turn on your TV and watch the full episode.
Well, I mean, I guess it's the same way people read headlines and not the full article, and they think they got the gist of what's happening. So it's a new world, Aid. It's a new world. All right. We'll take a quick break and we will come back and discuss this cast tell-all.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Whether it's a special gift for a loved one or needing help early with rent this month, make EarnIn a part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download EarnIn today, spelled EarnIn in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in AltaCall under podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's AltaCall under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max, see earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And we are back. Okay, as we said at the top of the episode, this was better than I imagined. And I think what I enjoyed most was it was just nice to go down memory lane of a show that we've been watching for this long, I guess 10 years since it's been. But I have a question for you, not to put you on the spot. I did think that this was a weird group of people that they brought, not weird, but it was an interesting choice cast. I'll tell you guys who the cast members are, and then I'll ask you my question. So the host is Monique Kelly, who we've seen before in the past, even though I wondered, why not just have Keisha host this?
It would be fun to have Keisha host, but I did think to myself, Keisha sure did take Jamie's job, so maybe that would be awkward.
No, I don't think so. I think Jamie is, for all the shit that we give Jamie, I think her, honestly, I was about to say her thirstiness oversees everything, but she's good-natured for the most part. So she'll just be like, oh, and make a joke about it and move on. But good point, good point. But yeah, so the cast members that they had were Jamie and Doug, Paige from Atlanta, Bennett from New Orleans, Eris from Nashville, Stasha from San Diego, and Rachel from Houston. And I just want to note that for a show called Married at First Sight, there were more singles than couples. In fact, Jamie and Doug were the only couples that were only couple that were there. So I was just thinking, like, I did think they got like a good mix of people, but I wondered what the thought process was, and maybe it was based on availability. But who would you have liked to see on the panel that wasn't there?
I would love to have, like, Val. I actually would have liked to have people who were on the same season a little bit. So I would have taken, like, a Val or a Miles or a Karen or Kirsten from Nashville. I felt like their strategy of only having, like, one person for season was good. But I would have liked people to kind of go back and forth. Because at the end of the day, when people recount, like, this is how this happened in the group, I would love for somebody else to be like, well, from my perspective, it actually happened this way.
Okay. So I think I like the one person having it. What I would have liked was to have more of the problem children on there. So the way they had Eris on there, I liked it because Eris is one of the people who had an issue with attraction. And you could easily turn to them and say, well, you were there in your point of view. What was the issue or whatever? So if they had the problematic people like even Ryan from Houston, I would have liked those so they can not answer for their crimes, but kind of stand on ground like what your thought process was when you were being a dick, I guess. That's what I was thinking. So, and I would have liked Woody and Imani because they're entertaining and they don't hold back and they don't try to, you know, play nice.
Also would have loved Woody and Imani, but so earlier in the season I said something about how Eris, despite not being attracted to Jasmine, came off looking really good. And someone who was probably right was like, I think you're forgetting that you were like really mad at this man during the actual season. And I liked the fact that I think that residual Eris, I'm telling you, is a lesson on how not to be attracted and to still leave looking mostly good. Even this like tell all whatever, he still seems to be himself. He was not attracted to Jasmine, and he still seems, he doesn't seem to be hurting her in any way with his lack of attraction, is the best way I can put it.
Yeah. They could get more of that. I mean, I just feel like after 17 seasons, or maybe 16, not including 17, there's a lot from the pool. But again, they did fine. They did fine. I just wish they had one person who was a rabble rouser, which I think the closest was Stasha, but, you know, to spice things up a little bit.
Remember the one we watched last year with, like, Mindy and Steve and Lindsay? I have to say, maybe the lack of rabble rouser might be a good thing, because this was actually much more pleasant than the one where Steve and Lindsay decide to relitigate the fights that they already had.
Yeah. But when I say rabble rousing, honestly, what I mean is like actual tea. Like what Emily is going to be in the future. Like not necessarily like yelling at people and cursing them out and everything, but just saying too much. Things you don't want us to know. So, Monique starts by asking them the tea on what's going on. Rachel said she has a new man, and Monique is like, oh, you and Jose are no longer together. And I'm like, when the heck was this filmed? Like, what, like, weren't they by the reunion already on rocky grounds? Like, and this was like, what, 2-3 seasons ago? Why did she ask if she and Jose are no longer together like it was a surprise? Did you think that too?
I was surprised, and then I remembered. We always forget the people who watch the show and don't get on the social media. Jose and Rachel were together at the end of the reunion. They were on rocky ground, but they were together. So if you only watch a show and you don't go to Instagram, the last time you saw Jose and Rachel, they were together. And so Monique was just updating the watching audience like, yeah, they broke up a couple years ago.
Okay. So she says, yeah, that they're no longer together. She exchanged him for a new puppy. So I guess that was a joke. She doesn't have a new man. She just has a puppy. She says she does not keep in touch with Jose, that they broke up and they were supposed to do their final canceling, which I think is a new piece of information for me, or I forgot. And I think that's a good thing that they give them, you know, canceling beyond the whole thing and all that. But she said he never showed up. And then she found out that she was blocked. I'm like, oh, God. So Monique says, and he's not contesting the divorce. And again, I was like, when the heck was this filmed? So, because if we're still contesting divorce how many years later, like, what are we doing? So she asked Stasha. Stasha says that she's divorced, but she's glowing and growing. She's still single and doesn't want to date because it's trash. Doug tells her, oh, just get a puppy. And I think Doug must have not watched her season. Stasha is not a fan of having a dog. So, but I think he was making a joke like Rachel, but yeah. She's like, no thanks.
Let's talk about fashions and look choices. Rachel's dress was fine, but I swear that material is like pajamas material. Like, I have pajamas that are that same material, so that was a choice.
Yeah, she did say it was comfortable.
A choice. Stasia's hair, another choice.
That was lovely.
A choice. Just gonna keep on saying a choice.
Really?
Oh, okay. The four pigtail look, I didn't quite get it, but okay.
A pigtail?
Stasia's hair was in four pigtails.
They were in cornrows.
Okay, there were cornrows at the top, and then there were pigtails at the bottom. I didn't care for it.
Oh, I gotta look this up. Okay. Did you like her outfit?
I did like her outfit, and I would expect nothing less from Stasia.
Okay. Yeah, because she posted her outfits. The shoes she wanted to wear didn't show up. So, she went with something else. Okay. Oh, I'm refreshing my memory with her hair. I see what you mean. I still like it. It was cute. Go ahead.
Eris, who I'm sure you'll get to, I love that he wears the same stuff he used to wear to after party.
Just different colors.
It looks good on him, and it's statement. It's not what everybody else is wearing. I'm a pretty big fan, actually. I don't know if I actually like it, but I'm a fan of the risk and the kind of just being different.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think it looks good on him, and he's sticking to what works. I wouldn't call it a risk. It's pretty basic, but he's just like, if it ain't broken for him, why fix it? So it works for him. So, and maybe we're just used to it.
Maybe. I guess I just can't imagine anybody else wearing it. Okay, so Paige, fabulous, solid color, off shoulder, perfect pregnant dress. She looked great. And JD was very basic, and it was fine. It was perfect for what she was doing, coming on TV. And Doug was just wearing a suit. Bennett, oh my God. Bennett was like, with Bennett, I'm just like, why try if you're not going to try? Why put on a suit? I'm sorry. Why put on a tie and a hoodie?
Because it's Bennett. Bennett is not going to do anything that's like the usual.
That's true. And it was my own fault for expecting anything less. Next week when we talk about the reunion, based on the previews, I have many thoughts on what people are wearing. But we'll save that. Please continue on our introductions of everybody who's here.
Well, don't worry. Emily already called them out already. Like, they put in effort and look what they... came in a hoodie and like, honestly, that's also insulting. Like, they didn't even try. But I'm sorry, did you say Jamie wore was perfect for TV?
In a sense, yeah, I mean, like, Jamie is, for who she is trying to be on Instagram, she was dressed like that. There's nothing memorable about anything she was wearing. She could have gotten that dress at Target. I might own that dress.
Okay.
What did you think?
She could have put more effort.
Okay.
I don't think it was like, it didn't seem like, I think that's what I was like. It didn't seem like she was coming on TV. It just seemed like any casual dress you could wear at any time. But again, everybody wear what's comfortable. We never know the behind the scenes, but just a little bit more would have been nice.
I'm just way off topic, but sort of on topic. In the day when housewives used to do reunions, they would not wear ball gowns. And then legend, you know, Atlanta is the one who started with the ball gowns. And it felt like Jamie was like the OG housewives and everybody else was after people started dressing up. Or actually, so was Rachel was more OG housewives. And then everybody else was after people started putting some effort into their looks.
Yeah, and then we move with the times. The housewives were dressing because back then, you wear a halter top, you could wear jeans, you could whatever. And the thing is, I know a lot of people got mad that Jenna Lyons wore jeans to the reunion. I wasn't mad because you can wear jeans, like, as long as there's some kind of effort or elevated. I'm not one of those people like, oh, you should be relatable, you should be casual. No. Like, if you're actually going to an event or anything, even in regular life, putting in effort is part of it all, so I expect that from my reality TV show stars. So,
are you saying that Jenna did put in effort with the jeans, or she didn't put in effort?
She did put in effort. She styled it, at least. She didn't come in with, like, jeans and a basic T-shirt. And plus, it's Jenna fucking Lyons. Like, she's gonna make it cool anyways. So, not everybody can pull that off, is what I'm saying. Okay, where was I? So, Stasha says that she does not keep in touch with Nate, and when the cameras went off, it all went downhill. And, you know, their season, we got to watch it go downhill. Monique asks about the post-nup, and she says that they never signed it, and she was going into decision day with a no, but she wanted to do the right thing and be a good wife and ended up saying yes, but she did have a marital settlement agreement put in place. And I don't know what that means, and I don't know how different that is from a post-nup. I don't know if you know, but I was confused.
I have no idea. And I am saying right now that Lifetime or Kinetic or whoever better have prenups for these people ready before these weddings. That would be criminally irresponsible of them. Stasha came into that marriage with what seemed to be quite a few assets.
Mm-hmm.
That would, I'm actually really worried. Like, I'm like, Stasha, you should have never walked in without a prenup. I don't know. That whole thing confused me.
We should make a point. Like, if we ever get anybody else on the show again, we always forget to ask that question. If they make them or offer them the option to sign a prenup.
And I'm going to, probably because they can't answer, I'm going to come up with an alternate way to ask that question. But yes.
Why can't they? I think they can.
Okay,
it's a pretty basic question, yeah. Bennett, they ask, and Bennett was like, oh, I'm teaching myself to play the slide whistle. And then they ask, what is that? He starts to do it. And then I'm like, you know what? Time and memory is a funny thing. Because back then, I thought Bennett's stuff was like, you know, he's not the usual, it's cute. But honestly, this entire show, I found it quite annoying.
Me too.
You can't be a man-child forever, and you can't, like, being eccentric can't be your whole entire personality to the point where they ask you, obviously, everyone, what's going on, and you're like, you're teaching yourself to play the slide whistle. Well, he says that, then she goes, okay, yeah, great, but we're asking about your love life, what's going on? He's like, I'm hanging out with the same person, we hang out together, we go to concerts, sometimes we make whoopee together, but they have intentionally and mindfully chosen not to use labels. And then he grabs his, what I call the chalice, and then slurps from it to drink his drink. And I'm like, all right, it's going to be a long night. For Jamie and Doug, they say they just bought their forever home in Florida, and they're trying to conceive twins. And Doug says they might have conceived twins last night. And then I just had a fleeting thought. So Jamie says her twins are natural and they weren't like from IVF or anything. But how surprising is it that she said they're trying? Like people just don't try to say, you know, I'm just going to have twins, and then you have that. So how do you try to conceive twins without help? I can't remember if she said it runs in her family. I think one of them's family runs in, but I just thought, like, what are the odds? And then they suddenly had twins. My bet is maybe, and this is what happens when you don't follow Jamie's stories intensely, because she tells everything. They don't hide anything. I'm wondering if she was already on fertility drugs and then she got pregnant naturally, and then it just happened to be twins. Because I know a couple of people that's happened to, like on the journey, and then because of the drugs, and then naturally, it's twins.
Maybe it's because I read a book recently where someone conceived quadruplets using a fertility drug, and I wondered if Jamie was using a fertility drug that might be more prone to multiples. Because like you said, it's just very strange to be like, I'm trying to conceive twins and then actually conceive twins.
Yeah. Because for the most part, I think it's called Clomid.
Yeah.
So when you're on it and we have it most of the time, and then if you're trying, it sometimes comes out as multiples. Either way, she got her wish. Good for her. So Eris says he and Jasmine are cordial, and he tried to get Duchess. I think they were just joking about it, but Duchess has a new man in her life and he's still single. He says he's with Stasha, dating is kind of trash. And I'm like, Eris, are you the trash? Because you're the one who's 40-something and still finding it kind of hard, and you're a man, it's just kind of side eye when a man says dating is trash, because y'all are the ones who have all of the options and all of the things. So all right. Paige says, obviously, she has a baby in a way, she's in a healthy, committed relationship, and she met him on a dating app. Sasha says she has never been on a dating app, and they get into a whole conversation about it. Paige said, not really, she just happened to be on there, and it happened to work out. So Monique starts
to ask. Paige hasn't come on anything before, right? This was the first time we've seen Paige.
I believe so, but I'm never, ever confident in my answers.
I really think that's the case. And I was shocked that Paige would ever want anything to do with this. After what this show did to her, I was shocked that she was there last night. I was glad that she came back, like, look, I'm coming back when my life is, like, really just great. That's when you should come back. But yeah, I was surprised that she even came.
Yeah, same. I'm just glad that her life in actuality is great. Like, whether she came back or not, because what this tell-all did was remind me of how bad her time was. Like, damn, it was terrible. So Monique asked them, what made you decide to marry a stranger? Sasha says that she was just thinking this would take me out to dating pool and someone else would do all the work. Jamie said she just wanted to find love, and if they have experts, why not? Doug is like, the thing is, everyone seems to think like it was so crazy, but for him, it didn't sound crazy to him. He's like, I'm telling someone everything I wanted, and then they get to pick out all the things based on what you say and stick to your deal breakers. Like, yeah, why not? And I'm like, Doug, just be lucky that it was in the early eras where they gave you what you actually wanted and they actually stuck to your deal breakers. Because this new era kids, they don't care. You have a deal breaker, they'll give you a deal breaker. So they say that they're about to hit the 10-year mark, and they all seem so shocked. Everyone's like, oh my God, that's so great. I'm like, this is Math's greatest story so far. Like, everyone knows this in their sleep, but I mean, they were shocked anyways. So Jamie says that they had a rough first year, and they vowed to have a vow renewal every 5 years, and they stuck to it. And I'm like, you've only had one. So I guess it doesn't count, but okay. So Monique asked him about the Denver season, what they think. And Eris is like, it's a mess. And I'm like, that's a lot coming from someone in the Nashville season. And then he says he was rooting for Becca and Austin, but doesn't look like that's working out. Paige says it was so hard to keep up with them because no one was consistent. Bennett says, every season I watch, I feel compassion for them. They have to navigate strangers. They have to navigate cameras. That's great, Bennett. But we asked, what did you think about this season? And something tells me he didn't watch it. I just can't even imagine Bennett watching Maths. Like, but anyways.
So I want to talk about one of my central frustrations. When you said, when did they film this? Look.
Yeah.
I was very frustrated because these people have definitely not seen the last few episodes. I think they literally shot this after a certain amount of the season had aired, and they did not give these people a preview as to what was going to air after they shot this. And so their perspectives were all, like, missing huge storylines that we know about.
Yeah, and the big giveaway is that they never mentioned Michael and Chloe.
And they never mentioned after party stuff either.
Yeah.
Sloppy of Lifetime. Like, on Housewives, they shoot the reunion, and they make sure everybody gets the episodes, all of the episodes, before the reunion. That's what they should have done for these people.
But I think the after party is a choice, because that was airing concurrently with whatever it is that they watched.
Which made it even strange. Like, why would they not reference after party?
Two different shows, Aid. We've been saying that. They can't. So Rachel says she feels like everyone has been too honest, and they're too honest to the point where they don't know how to handle conflict. And Sasha is like, I don't think they were honest. And I'm glad she said that, because when Rachel said it, I was like, huh? Who's been too honest? Did you think they were too honest or not enough honest?
I'm honestly not sure. Have people been too honest or not honest enough? I
On this season? I don't know.
On this season.
Really? Oh, it's a no-brainer. They were not honest. Brennan wouldn't even talk about anything that's going on. Austin is not telling them about anything that's going on. She has no idea about what's happening.
Do you mean honest with their partners or honest with us?
Just whatever Rachel said. Just feels like they were too honest with each other, so they don't know how to handle the conflict that comes with being too honest with themselves.
You know, I do think I kind of agree with Rachel, because I think her point was, these people, and she may have said this either here or somewhere else, they talk about everything and they have no tools to handle what it is that they talk about.
Mm. I just felt like they weren't being honest. And that includes Michael and Chloe. I just felt like there was just a lot of therapy speak and talking around stuff, having the same conversations, but they weren't actually saying what the real deal was. So Sasha was like, I don't think that they were being honest, that she feels like they were way more concerned about the camera. Then Jamie says, like, yeah, that she feels like they were just all performing. She mentions Brennan and Austin. And once she mentions Austin, Sasha's like, what the hell is going on there? Why can't you just pull her hair or bend her over? Doug says like it was so bad that even he as a viewer was sexually frustrated. So Monique asks about attraction. She's like, how nerve-wracking was it to put all your trust in someone else? Eris was like, he was just hoping that he finds whoever it is attractive and that, he said he hopes that he finds him attractive. Rachel says, like, they asked her what the worst thing would be. She was like, if they're not attracted to me, but and vice versa, but thankfully she was. Doug was like, oh, man, she was so attracted to me, which is a joke if you've been watching. And Jamie says it again that this was a nothing, that it just wasn't a fairy tale, that she had all these thoughts about everything and he didn't live up to it, so that's why she reacted that same way. So Monique asked a question, which I thought was important, saying, after 10 years, how does it feel to relive that moment again? And Doug was like, honestly, I appreciated her reaction, that he's a confident person. And he just knew that it was day one, and he liked that she was real, like she wasn't concerned about the cameras and putting on a nice face and all that. And he thought it was fine. It was fine with him. Paige says they get to have grace because it was the first season. But for people who have watched season after season and season and have that reaction, it's like, well, what did you expect? I'm like, Paige, you're a real one for that, because that is that is my confusion every time.
I loved Paige's question because I felt like even though she exempted Jamie from her question, she really did kind of call Jamie out.
Well, I didn't think about it that way, but yes, because even though it was season one, but you knew the premise of the show, right? she says, if you feel like you can get someone better, then why did you sign up for this show? This was the point. I was waiting for the camera to go straight to Eris, because he's the only one on the couch who wasn't attracted to his spouse, but they didn't. Then Jamie said, oh, the things that are so sad is when one person is open and the other one is so closed, you know, like Emily and Brennan. I'm like, once again, let's go to Eris, but they didn't. So Doug says, like, the way that they had to pick their partner, they gave them like 200 pictures to go over. And they had to rate it. And then later on, they found out that part of the pictures that they gave them were part of the people who ended up being part of the cast. And the new era people are all like, oh, my God, you're so lucky. Sasha's like, they just asked us, who's your celebrity crush? But honestly, why don't they do that still? I mean, I guess the fear is you see someone that you recognize. But I think they should just do that.
The experts, when we interviewed Dr. Pepper and Dr. Jessica, said that they look through your previous people who you've dated pictures to figure out who you're attracted to. So I thought it was, like, kind of confusing because I was like, what Sasha is saying is not what we have heard before.
I think two things can be true. Because I think Nicole told us the celebrity crush, I think, or whatever. And also, I think going through people that you've dated before is not a good measure at all. I don't think if you put people I've dated in the past, I don't think they all look alike. I'm with Stasha. I don't necessarily think I have a type. So how do you gauge based on that?
I think if you have nothing else to go on, then gauging based off people you've dated before is a good one.
No, because their personality plays a part. Not necessarily.
Yeah, their personality
just
plays a part, but it's also like, well, who have you been attracted to before? That's at least something for us to go off.
Okay, I disagree, but yeah. So finally they go to Eris and they ask him what happened. He says, watching it back, he sees how frustrating it was. He said the first night he was so tired, he was knocked out of sleep, and then Jasmine nudged him and was like, why don't they have sexual chemistry? I'm like, okay. he says his reason, and she gasped and was like, oh my God, please tell me you didn't say this on camera. And I had so many thoughts running through my mind. I'm like, what the heck was this that was so bad that she said, I hope you didn't say this on camera? But also, they knew this since day one. So the whole entire thing was an act?
What do you mean? What was an act? They basically, we found out that he wasn't really attracted to her, like, what, at the end of the honeymoon?
Yeah, but she said she was still trying. If they do this, then he might, whatever, we'll do this. And then, but if she knew, it still felt like she was still trying the entire season.
I feel like just because, I don't think that was, I feel like someone can say I'm not attracted and you're like, well, we can work on our attraction. Let me just keep on trying. I didn't feel duped in any way.
I kind of did. A little bit. So Sasha asks if they try to overcome those things or he just friend-zoned her. And he said they tried to work through it, but yes, he knows he could have done more. I don't think Eris ever tried throughout the season to do more. I think Jasmine tried. I think Eris was made up his mind from beginning that, and I just feel like because she gasped at whatever it is that he said, I just think it was something that couldn't have been overcome. What it could be, I don't know. But anyway, once again, we get nothing. I guess is my whole point. Like, we're never going to know. I understand, like, it's out of respect for her, which is fair, but we're never going to know what it is. So it'll always be a question mark when it comes to Jasmine and Eris.
As hard as it is for people to keep their mouth shut, I am somewhat proud of Eris that he doesn't care where he goes or who he talks to. You are never going to hear from his mouth what exactly it was. And I think that's very kind.
It is. It's kind, but it's just, I don't know how to say this. We watch these shows for something, and again, I'm scared of these things becoming the norm. Because just this season alone, I don't know what the reunion is going to be like, but it's going to be the same for Michael and Chloe. We're never going to know what it is, and it's kind. And then Austin and Becca, he's never really saying, we're never going to know what it is. So it becomes like, how many people are we going to give grace to for being kind when we're watching the show for an entire complete reason? Again, I'm not saying that he should say it. I'm just saying I'm scared that it's going to become the norm.
Because I would rather than what Paige has dealt with. I would rather be ignorant than have, like, what Chris said about Paige ever said about anybody on TV.
I would rather just have people who actually want to try, who know that they're signing up for a show that you don't know what you're going to get, but regardless of what it is, because we have more examples of women still working on it even when it wasn't there, but I find that the men tend to shut down, like, oh, I don't like it, it's not there, and then that's it. And then there's no trying throughout the end. We can have more Clint's, where I felt Clint still actually put, you know, some effort or some whatever, and it was still happening, then this, so I'm kind, but I'm here. Because if not, we can, there are a million and one dating shows we could watch for that. But we'll see. Sasha says, like, her and Nate, theirs was easy because their chemistry put them at ease. And then Monique brings up the shower scene. And she's like, did you forget? What made you comfortable? She says they were just having fun. And the cameraman was just right there, but she didn't care. She's pretty open, so it didn't matter to her. They switch to Paige and play the clip of Chris, to your point, saying that, yeah, she's a girl I would never, ever, ever approach at the club. And Pascal is like, spit it out. What? Why? She's like, more her face. I'm like, oh my God, this is so mean. Paige says that she did not see this until the reunion, and she just thought it was very, very mean-spirited. And she tells us that she never watches her season because it's painful. And good for her. She should never watch the season. She lived it.
Agreed. I'm glad she's never watched it. Like I said, I am surprised that she was here. I'm very surprised she was here.
Yeah. Doug does say that there is a difference between attraction and chemistry, that attraction you can build over time. They all seem to agree with it, and Bennett goes on about pheromones, and you can blame it on the pheromones, and I'm like, oh, Lord. They switch over to sex and ask a question about friendship. Rachel says she doesn't understand why people shy away from it. When they're already married, that she's just like, why not do it if everything is going great? I think Pastor Cal gave them that advice or something when he came over. Jamie says hers is different, that she was just insecure about herself, her relationship, and she wanted to build that friendship. Doug says, like, you know, I think Rachel had mentioned something about pumping the brakes. Like, they weren't having sex, but they didn't pump the brakes. That they were doing other things and they were spooning and all that kind of stuff. And spooning was like a big deal for them. And I have to say, Aid, this tell all made me see Doug in a different way.
A better way?
Yeah, I will say that. I think my level of respect went up. I always feel like Doug is like in a get out situation with Jamie, and I do remember saying, like, I didn't think they were gonna last. Like I said, like, I think they're gonna split or whatever. But I truly actually felt his confidence, and I actually saw, like, Doug is in this because he wants to be in here. Like, he's not the kind of person that would do something that, or be in something that he doesn't want to be in. So that's what my perception of him changed watching this.
I always forget that Doug is actually pretty charming, somewhat funny. Sometimes Jamie, I won't say she takes all the air out of the room, but she likes to be the center of attention. Yeah. And so I feel like this was actually an opportunity for Doug to say some things here and there. And I'd be like, oh, Doug is funny. Doug is charming. Oh, I forget.
I did have some word later on. She kept cutting him off, though.
What'd I say?
So that's my thing, and that's why I felt like he's like in this situation, but hey, good for them. They turn to Eris and they ask him, like, you know, if they had made out more, if they had dry humped and stuff like that. Did they do anything on their wedding night? And Eris said, full transparency, their wedding night, the camera didn't leave until like 4 a.m. So they didn't do anything. That they were just talking. Bennett said it took them like a month until they had sex. But, like, you know, like, when you have sex with them on Married at First Sight, like, it has a lot more weight, that's your spouse. Paige says sometimes if you don't have emotional intimacy, it's hard to have sex. And that was the issue this season, that there wasn't a lot of emotional intimacy. Sasha says they built up the anticipation, and it was like a month in, and it was probably on their 1 month anniversary. Rachel said, I don't know what y'all talking about. My timeline was 2 weeks. She didn't say it that way, but she just said her timeline was 2 weeks. Doug says for this season, he doesn't mind them not having sex, but they're just missing the flirting, the dating, like grab a boob, put your hands down their pants. And I'm like, once again, they haven't seen Michael and Chloe, but okay. Doug says that they are not following up with the experts' homework, and that in itself is something, which is a reminder that a lot of the times we drag the experts. But the one thing these people, when they come out of maths, do, they always stand for the experts.
They do. And they say that the experts are way more involved in their relationship than we see.
Yeah. So just proof of that. All right. We will take a break here and we'll be right back.
And we come back and Monique asks everybody, the Denver cast has some unique hurdles. What do they think of their unique hurdles? Sasha's like, this season was traumatic. She said Michael being left at the altar was traumatic. And Emily's accident. Sasha was like, I was on ATVs, and if I had fallen off like that, I would have walked off. I don't know what she meant by that. Like, walked off the show? I don't know what she meant.
I think the show, because remember when we were commenting, like, kudos to her for still filming. I would have been like, I need a break. I need to go home. Be in my bed.
I mean, but why wouldn't you then come back so then you can beat somebody else over the head over it on After Party a few weeks later because they didn't come back on your schedule? Sasha talks about how the accident brought Emily and Brennan closer, but Sasha, like us, doesn't like that Brennan takes props for saving her life, and they all laughed. Sasha's like, he held a towel, like there's people following you.
This is another thing in the timeline, so as to how far they watched, I guess.
Which, we hadn't seen Michael and Chloe fool around, but Michael and Chloe had gotten married by the time she had her accident, but they didn't reference them at all.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's so, like, the whole thing was just kind of weird. Like, we don't know, we can't place how much they'd seen or when it was done, so that was interesting. So that tells us that it's a choice. Maybe they were specifically told not to mention them, but why?
I don't know. I'm really curious. Or the thing is, I mean, clearly they probably filmed this over a whole day. They're going to cut a lot of stuff out, but there needs to be like signs to us that they actually watch the show that they are commentating on.
Yeah. And cutting off Michael and Chloe is a huge edit.
So Rachel, in continuing the discussions about all the trauma, says that there was a lot of distractions from working on your marriage, and it makes a tough situation even tougher. And Jenny's like, well, Lauren and Orion broke up fast. Claire and Cameron separated. Brennan left, which is another thing. Brennan didn't leave until pretty late in the season.
Girl, I think we should give up, because I'm just going to watch the show because I'm tired of asking, what the hell is this timeline that we're working with? So.
Jamie says no one's, like, even made it to D-Day. Rachel says people are giving up too fast. And she's like, I experienced something pretty rough with being locked out. So we watch, Jose lock Rachel out and then laugh about it the next day. And she's like, everybody was telling me I would have left right then and there after being locked out and then being yelled at. She says she has no regrets about keeping going because they were able to build back something. And the host asks, like, well, didn't you want to, like, go into Jose? And she says, well, obviously the night of, not so much, but the day after, and he wouldn't apologize. And she wanted to go off on him, but she held back because of the cameras. And she didn't feel he was remorseful or apologetic. And then she says, I should have gone off on him because then maybe he would understand how wrong it was what he did. And she never felt that he understood how wrong it was to lock her out.
That is the other thing I took out of this, too. In rewatching it, Jose is a lot worse than my memory remembers. He was pretty damn terrible. Were we just so focused on Johnny?
No, I remember him being terrible, and I remember us trashing him a lot.
Okay.
Up until the reunion, we were like, why are these two together? This makes no sense.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was bad.
And continuing with the whole, remember when Jose locked you out, Rachel was like, that's when I realized that this show isn't produced. Like, she's like, when I came on the show, I'm like, I'm boring. Nothing crazy will happen with me. And the next thing I know, I'm being locked out. She's like, you can't really make that up.
Well, the season 17 women beg to differ, ain't it? This is very produced and we're being manipulated.
And then we switched to Paige, who's like, well, there's no one had a bigger marriage hurdle than the ex-fiance was pregnant. So the host asks us to walk us through Paige's experience, and she's like, God was on my side, an immense amount of grace is what got her through. She said it was a rough experience and that she was intentional, and, you know, marriage was a covenant, and she should have just chosen herself, which is kind of contradictory to what this conversation is about. Because I think the idea is, everybody's like, well, why can't people stick it out and, like, shittier things happened to me and I stayed? But Paige is, we said it back then, and Paige is saying it now. I should have left. Rachel probably should have left.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just an intense process, I guess. Hindsight is 20/20, they say.
And it's hard as a viewer, because it's like, well, you stayed, so we continue to have a show, unlike all these people who just left and kind of abandoned not only their spouse, but us, the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, then Monique asks everybody, like, what do you think of Denver and them leaving over things that aren't half as horrendous? But Paige says, like, why would you sign up? Marriage is for better or worse. When you're saying your vows, that should be a commitment. She also makes the point that 8 weeks is not that long. She's like, it could be a lot, but it's not enough time to get to know somebody. Paige says she feels like she was robbed and she wishes she could have a do-over like Michael got. And I was like, yeah, I wish she could have had a do-over back then, too. So she asked, like, Jamie and Doug, what are some of the hurdles that they've been through in their marriage? They talk about Jonathan, who is the child that they lost. I believe it was like a very, very late, I don't want to call it a miscarriage because it was a lost child, but it was, that was the circumstance, right?
Yeah. I don't remember. I can't remember the circumstances around it, to be honest. I just know they lost him.
So that was one of their biggest, I can't think of a bigger hurdle than losing your child, but they mentioned a couple other things, some of which we've heard before, like while they were pregnant with Henley, they were living with his parents and Doug lost his job and it was very stressful. They talk about how he had addiction issues before the show and that while they were filming the show, I guess Doug didn't drink, but they never just talked about it. Jamie said that he was taking a secret medication to deal with his drug addiction. And he says that he's recently come off that medication. But they've had a lot of hurdles, Doug says, but they're in an amazing place. And the foundation was the show and the experts and the little nuggets they've carried.
I wonder if they weren't allowed to say the name of the drug.
Yes.
Because it's a pretty common medication that people stay on to help them remain sober.
Does Jamie talk about it on Instagram? Like, you know the name of the drug?
Yeah, she has said it before. Like, it's pretty common. Like, a lot of people stay on it.
Is it Suboxone?
I cannot remember it right now.
Okay.
Or what it's exactly called. Maybe naltrexone or something? I'm not sure. But yeah, but they just kept saying secret medication, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's like a lawsuit waiting to happen if they say it or not and stuff like that. But yeah, and I think one thing they also didn't mention in the tell-all was like the cameras and everything, but from the first year, they had shows that they were on, even beyond that. Like, it was literally like 2 seasons, or even if it was 1, but beyond all that, they were filming a show and we followed their lives and we saw, you know, their lives beyond that. So I wish they had mentioned that, because I think that's an extra layer that Jamie got to experience that maybe the rest of them didn't. Because none of them, except maybe Bennett, were on couples camp.
They did mention. It was kind of a throwaway line, and I can't remember at what point in the show they said it, but they said we had our first baby on TV. They went through a lot of, like, things that they had done on TV.
But it was a proposal. So it was a line of him saying, we've done this, we've done that, we've done this. But I mean, like, in the context of living their life on camera, like, and all that kind of stuff beyond that. Because I think that's an actual, like, these people keep complaining about it, but they had to live their life still in a producer, still with the cameras on that.
You said they had to. They chose to.
They chose to. But I mean, like, they actually, that was their life. But these people are complaining about it. Like, we literally have a fight about a producer, but they had to live a life beyond that, which I think couldn't have been easy. I think it adds an extra layer of stress. So, but you're right. They didn't have to.
Jamie, if you picked up a camera crew and said you wanted to follow Jamie's life right now, she would be in heaven.
But I don't, no, trust me, I get that. I think what I'm trying to say is, like, if he was hiding all these things and they were going through all these things, like, I know she's in heaven, but these are not easy things to live through on camera because we watched it and we had to watch the fights. And I'm just like, this could not be easy to navigate in a new marriage.
Sure, not easy.
But it's still a choice. It is like, it's still
exactly
a choice. No one forced them to do it.
I think they love it. I don't know. I think they both love it, actually. I put a lot of it on Jamie, but I think that, yeah, they love living a public life. So Doug tells us that he's more than 10 years of being sober, which everybody is, like, very celebratory about. And I celebrate that, too. But I'm like, so y'all have been married for almost 10 years and you've been sober for over 10 years? That sounds to me like it was a very short time period between when you got sober and when you did this show.
Yeah, because remember that whole thing? She made a whole thing about, I don't know when he got off the drug, but I mentioned it. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry that everything is fuzzy and it's just not, like, factual. But when he talked about getting off the drugs and she had a whole episode and talking about it, how they had to go through it. So
we had this discussion when Tayshia broke up with, I want to say, Zach on The Bachelorette. This is when we had the discussion about Doug, because I think Jamie was talking about it. So yes, you'd have to go pretty far back to for when you and I discussed Doug and things that Jamie had talked about on Instagram.
Yeah, on the podcast. Yeah. So, those are actual, like, hurdles.
yeah. So, Jamie says that she feels blessed with everything that's happened, and everything happened the way it had to happen, and she's proud of her husband. It was sweet. So, Monique pivots us a little and says, let's talk about optics. She's like, we've never heard it, but it was a focus this season. Stasha says this optics is making them do things they normally wouldn't do, and they're making themselves look bad. Paige says, obviously, you want to put your best foot forward, but it's hard to find a balance. Jamie says it's easier said than done. Like, if you want the marriage, you have to let the optics go, and then you can't perform 24/7. And Jamie says they can't perform that long, and that's why they're all done. And Doug says, if you try to hide arguments and stuff, then the experts won't know, and you won't have the tools, and you're basically creating a disadvantage for your marriage by trying to hide things, which is an excellent point by Doug. Because if you talk about it on camera and the experts catch wind, they will make sure that it's public because they will talk to you about it. But I just can't imagine that every single issue that they have, it ends up on the show. Like, it might end up on camera, but there's no way we see it all.
Yeah. And we know they're experts at keeping things from us. So, yeah, there's no way we see it all.
Continuing on this vein, Monique says, like, there are a few conversations that were caught on camera that might be a surprise to people when they watch the show. And so they show the whole Brennan and Emily on the honeymoon. And it didn't seem like Brennan was aware, and Jamie thought that it was the most real of them together that they've seen. And this
to be clear for people who don't watch, it was the part of their honeymoon where Emily said something about, oh, something, having fun, and then he just kept bringing it up over and over and over again, like, why do you think, I don't have fun, and stuff like that, scene.
And then they talk about Austin and Becca and this argument they had about the cameras with the security cameras there. And there was all this emphasis that they probably would be surprised. They didn't know about the camera. I'm like, all the couples know that there are cameras in their living rooms. So they knew there were cameras there during the discussion. Maybe they'd be surprised that the footage was actually used, but they knew the cameras were there.
Yeah, they do. They just maybe forget.
Jamie, Doug says that they're trying to manage what's being said, and Jamie says to let it go, and it comes down to two people being authentic to each other. And then Bennett comes in out of nowhere talking about he's been meditating, and there's one fundamental practice that if you're feeling something, rather than resisting it, just acknowledge, and then instead of constantly breaking the fourth wall, you should just acknowledge that the cameras are here, and I'm capable of acting if they don't exist. Somewhere in there, I felt like there was something good, but I got lost a little when Bennett started talking about the meditation.
Oh, Bennett. He had the time of his life.
With his hoodie and his tie. So Monique is like, okay, so you guys see, you know, you all have your things that you as a couple kind of agree that you won't discuss. But are there any cast pacts about things that you won't discuss? And Rachel says that at the bachelorette party, they all agreed that they were uncomfortable speaking about sex. Three of them are in education. They were worried. So they all agreed to not talk about sex. And then someone went and told the producer. And then on the wedding day, the producers were like, we heard y'all did this. And then she went to the group chat and was like, who did this? It sounded like a nothing burger, because we all know that half of them at least talked about sex. But, Tane, who do you think told the producers?
Michaela.
Me too! It's so funny. Immediately, that's who came to mind. Why do you think it was Michaela?
Because I just don't think that she cares. She was very open. And you just have to be a good producer. If you ask the right question, it will just come out. It's like, she'd probably just laugh about it and just be like, but don't tell them I told you though. But yeah, that's what we agreed or whatever. So yeah, she just seems the most open of that season. Merla seems caged. Bao seems caged. Rachel, I didn't think would be caged, but she has a point about her education. And who am I missing?
I'm struggling.
Oh, it's Brett. Yeah, Brett would just do whatever the group tells her to do, so that sounds mean, but anyways, yeah, that's my reason.
And it's Brett, Merla, and Rachel who are the ones who are in education, right?
I don't remember the third person, but yes. No, yeah. Merla and Rachel in education. I can't remember where Brett. She was gymnastics?
No, she was a sports coach and also a teacher, so yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So Aaron talks about how the guys would meet and discuss things, and they would keep sight of a circle of trust, and he wouldn't say anything to Jasmine, but then he would hear all the tea about what was going on in the girls because Jasmine was pillow talking. And it's just so interesting to me. I'm like, you guys had pillow talk while you were not doing anything else, not really developing a relationship, but you were in bed together discussing the other couples? Like, wow.
That makes sense, because there was nothing to focus on. Except talk about other couples. But again, I still feel like, remember that I think Jasmine was trying, so that was her person to talk to.
They asked Sasha if she and Nate had anything, and she said that they agreed to not bring up his mom. Totally understandable. I think they actually covered it pretty well, and I'm sure Nate was just like, can we not do that all the time? And then also, he didn't want her to bring up tools, and then all of us are confused. Like, what tools? And Bennett asked.
I was confused. What? Bennett annoyed me. I was like, what do you mean?
I was glad Bennett asked because it was not clear to me.
Oh, okay.
I want to say that that's what she meant.
Yeah, okay. I think for me, he seemed annoyed with the whole therapy thing. So once she said tools, that's where my mind went to.
So, for everybody else's edification, the tools were, like, the things that the experts told them to do, or the exercises, which, in one, he didn't want to talk about them, but I'm sure that translated into him not really wanting to do them either.
Yeah.
So, Monique asks, is there anything that happened that when you saw it, you were like, oh, crap? And Rachel says the security cam fight, which I will say I did forget about that one. So she said that they were still together when it aired and they watched it together. And she told him, we're going to watch it. I'm going to be upset and you need to apologize. Like, get ready to apologize again. And she did say it kind of led to, like, part of why they broke up, because instead of just following her instructions, and a coworker instructed him the same thing, like, saw it and was like, you better apologize to her, you're lucky that she's still with you, blah, 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 and he still couldn't apologize. And she said that's when she realized, like, she needs someone better, and that he was concerned about his image. And I'm like, but if he was concerned about his image, what does that have to do with apologizing to you in private long after filming is over? So after this aired, they had a trip to Cancun the next day, and I guess he was not a good travel buddy either. And she's like, if he cannot travel with me, then we are really done. Like, at minimum, my partner needs to be able to travel with me. I felt like that was somewhat some good, but, like, I found that very interesting. Like, what it does to your post-filming relationship when you're watching the show together. I liked that insight.
Yeah, I think if you're already on shaky ground, it's kind of like people with shaky marriages who go on this housewife show. It just kind of highlights it. Like, if you were on, if they were in a good spot, or if that was the person that was meant for her, they would have weathered the storm, I guess. But it was already fragile, and it just helped accelerate and convince her, like, yeah, this is not my person.
So Monique talks about how part of this process is that you will be on camera, and she asks what people were kind of scared of. Rachel said she was scared of everything. She was, like, she's nervous right now being on TV. But the day of the wedding, they did a good job of hiding the cameras, but she was very conscious that you can't take back anything you say or do. Duck said that they didn't know because they were season one, and that his only concern with was that the expert or the show was not serious about the weddings and the marriages. Monique asks, did you guys make any adjustments? And Jamie says, lots more makeup. And all the girls agree, like, you are just trying to hide everything, putting on lots and lots of makeup. Which is so interesting, because I find that half the girls probably have too much makeup, and half the girls, I'm always, like, really impressed with how good their makeup is. So the fact that they're putting it on all the time, they're doing a good job, some of them.
Yeah. And there's a whole, the other thing, everybody has different makeup skills, but I think makeup for camera is a completely different ballgame. So when you think maybe on a regular day you're doing a good job, but then on camera it doesn't translate well.
So Monique asks if everybody, like, cusses less. And Paige says, well, there was that producer conversation. See, this is stuff that I kind of, it's not present in my mind. I'm glad they reminded me of it. So they do a replay of when Paige called a producer and cussed a lot. Okay. I mean, she was entitled.
Yeah.
She asked Eris if he held back. And he's like, no, I was given too much. The bachelor party, the never have I ever, where he said he was in an orgy. And he said it got to a point where he stopped drinking because Jasmine would be, like, hitting his leg, like, stop that. And so he just had to make sure he was sober, I guess, when they were filming so that he could hold back a little. Meanwhile, Rachel's like, I started drinking more.
Maps was therapy for Eris.
So Monique asks, she says Bennett and Amelia were perfect, which they mostly were. And she said, on camera, everything flowed naturally. What happened off camera that led to you guys breaking up? Then it's like, well, you know, the first 6 months, you're on a glow. And then once the glow is over, you have to decide. He did not answer the question. We don't know why Bennett and Amelia broke up. Even Doug was like, oh, was it the moving? And he's like, well, I can't really say it was one factor. These are the people who never announced that they were breaking up. We found out they were broken up by one of them going to file for divorce, although there was plenty of speculation before that. Bennett is not going to tell us why he and Amelia broke up.
Yeah, he's like, it's hard to know what the main thing was. It could be anything, but you were in it. Like, you had to have had a conversation. But again, they don't owe it to us, but it's different if he was like Eris, where it's like, oh, I know what it is, but I'm just choosing out of respect not to share it with you. But to say, no, couldn't be, could be anything. It's hard to know what it is. How could it be hard when you lived it? Whatever.
Monique asked, what moment stood out to you as cringeworthy? And Rachel is like, Summer Rachel. She's like, I was drunk. She didn't say I was drunk. She was drunk.
She sure was.
She said Jose took it back. I mean, it's one of those things where if you go back to the podcast, I'm fairly certain that we had probably too long of a discussion about Summer Rachel.
I think we're trying to decide, was she drunk? Was she not? We're like, she definitely was drunk.
Monique says that Eris has one of the most quotable lines from Mass, blowing someone's back out. He said it was the bachelor party. The drinks were good. He was with his newfound brothers. He was prepared on the honeymoon because he's like, you have to pack for the... This sounded so bad, and I know he didn't mean it, but he basically said, you have to pack for the honeymoon before you see the person who you're marrying. To explain that he bought, like, all new toys, hold on, rose toys, some creams, some oils. He's like, basically, I bought all that stuff before I realized I didn't want to sleep with Jasmine. Now, that's not what he said, but that's what he said.
I mean, why do you think it sounded bad?
Oh, the fact that he's like, I bought all this stuff in preparation for having sex, but then I realized that I was never going to have sex with him. Oh.
He should have shared that with the other castmates. Oh, wait. None of them were in a good place either.
Monique says she's fascinated by the behind the scenes, just like us. So she asked them how they decide what they share on social media in the present. Bennett is like, I sometimes basically do fan interactions, and he updates on his work, so his plays, his albums, but nothing personal. Stasha says she shares nothing personal. She just does funny videos because she felt like she was portrayed as serious. Rachel says she overshares her dating struggles. And she says she does not soft launch, which I appreciated her making a point to say this. She's like, if you see a guy on my Instagram, he's my friend or we're getting married. Good strategy.
I can confirm, like, so far, all of them are correct about their social media. All Stasha does is those TikTok videos.
Paige says she also does not soft launch, but the baby is permanent, so you're going to start seeing her partner now. And after what she experienced, she left social media for a while, which we knew. We didn't see her for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she's still not really back.
Yeah. I mean, she's a busy lady. She was a boss chick. And now she has a kid on top of it.
Monique asked if she got support. And she says, yes, surprisingly, that people were very supportive and cheering her on. And there was a level of compassion that was more than the backlash. My heart was really warmed to hear this because I knew that Paige got lots and lots of hate, lots and lots, are you stupid, lots and lots of that. And the fact that she remembers it as there were more people who were nice than were mean is really amazing.
Yeah. Oh, she went through it. I hope they paid for her therapy bills because she was the one that was seeing two therapists, I believe.
Yes. Afterwards, yeah. Jamie and Doug are like, we're in the public eye. They've never held anything back. We're like, we know. they said their followers and friends appreciate it. And Jamie talks about when she lost Jonathan, she felt so isolated and alone. And then people would email her and they would have their rainbow babies. And she said, by sharing her struggles, you feel less isolated and you're helping other people feel less isolated. Just the amount of support that you can give and receive. You know, I take that all as truth. I'm pretty sure that's all true.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and we've always said this. There are people who, and I think we had a listener even message us who she appreciates Jamie's openness. And I think the problem with Jamie is, like, we don't share maybe the stage of life that she's in. So we don't find her, like, related. Maybe necessarily not that. I don't know. But we're just not her audience. Let's put it that way. So it's different. But there are people who appreciate. She calls them her girl. What did she call them? Girlfriends. FRANS. Like people she's met through the internet. Yeah, and things that she's met. I think I heard Doug say it like really quickly, but I wasn't sure. But that's what she calls it. Oh, my girlfriends. And then, you know, she buys them coffee. Sometimes they meet up or whatever. But she's very open. And she has a lot of people, like, in the comments that are always, like, they just love what it is that she has to offer. The only difference is just we are not her audience.
Okay, on one hand, I understand that I'm not her audience. But I also, in general, I don't follow people on Instagram who are what I would call oversharers. And I was thinking about it. I do follow a lot of people who are moms, who post about being moms, but they are not oversharers. Or what they're sharing is interesting to me. I don't know.
Oh, I follow a lot of oversharers. I could never in my life, but I keep telling myself, like, that's more the norm than not, so, yeah.
So then I heard a term that I hadn't heard before, thumb thugs. I like it, though. So Monique asks about them, and do they pop back? Harris says, I don't, but Nicole is in there with a helmet. Rachel says when guys comment, she just responds, but then when girls comment, she screenshots and posts it. And then Jamie's like, yeah, and then they get very defensive and apologetic. She's like, the way that they're acting is not okay. We're real people. You wouldn't treat someone like that in real life, so don't treat me like that. Monique asks if everybody keeps up with people. Jamie said that they keep in touch with Courtney. Vaughn wasn't interested. Jason has moved on. I think they said they kind of keep up with Monet. But Jamie also speaks to people who from other seasons. She was just talking to Nicole and Chris, and she loves the Married at First Sight family. And apparently the Married at First Sight men have a fantasy football league.
Yeah.
Rachel also keeps in touch with a lot of people. Met the Atlanta girls when she went to Atlanta. Brianna helped Paige with her registry. That was cute. I loved hearing that little detail. The San Diego girls are very close, that they talk on a daily or a weekly basis. And you just told me they went on vacation. So, yeah, they are close.
Yep.
Bennett is close with Miles. Monique is like, so, since they just announced their breakup, I think Bennett was going to have the answer ready no matter what the question was. He's like, Miles is great. Miles is doing great. I was not sure if I believed him. But he's like, I'm also not going to talk about Miles' business. So... Eric says the Nashville guys are all close. And not even the guys, all of them. Because he said that they went to Chris and Nicole's housewarming because they just bought a house. And I'm pretty sure that everybody was there except for Shaq. And the only reason Shaq wasn't there is because Shaq doesn't live in Nashville. He says that if he gets married, Shaq will be one of his groomsmen. He says that Shaq's mom calls him. Sasha asks if Eris would get married. And he's like, yeah, I would. Sasha says that she would get married all but the court. Like, she wants the dress, she wants the ceremony, she'll change her name. She just doesn't want the piece of paper. Monique advises her that it's year one after divorce. Don't be so stringent. Like, get past it a little. You'll never know who you're going to meet. So Monique asks if there's anything from their season as they watch their castmates that surprised them. Sasha says that she was surprised that Mitch was very vicious with Kristen. Did they show a package of clips where, I don't know if vicious is the right word. Uncaring, kind of rude. I don't know if vicious is the word that I would use.
She just didn't like Mitch.
And Sasha does talk about how at a point she let Kristen handle it, and then the more she saw it, then she started standing up for her. Which I was like, I don't like that, though. Bennett says that they're civil, thoughtful people. And as far as he knows, there's no ill will. Rachel said that they all got along really well, but watching the show and seeing what everybody was going through was shocking. Then Monique is like, so everybody wants to know, did Mirla and Johnny date? And she says they never dated. They're just besties. It got to a point where she wondered if they dated. But then she realized, like, no, they're for real. They never dated, and they're opposites or something like that.
My thing was, when Rachel was talking about, when they asked who are you friends with, and she mentioned Mirla, Johnny, and all that kind of stuff, and even this part where they said the things that were shocking to you, I wish Monique had asked her what her thoughts were on how Johnny treated Bao.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always wondered, how are you friends with someone... I just remember us being really mad at Johnny that season. I think we even wished, like, he wouldn't find anyone to date him. And we're like, but the way the world works, he's going to find someone. He's going to be fine. He's engaged right now. But how are you friends with someone? But maybe they don't rate Bao because she dated Zach afterwards and they feel she broke girl code. I don't know. But that I'm very curious to know, like, what the thought process is on that.
That is a great question, and I, too, was also curious. I mean, I think that the Johnny Bao thing, I think the people on his side probably see Bao very, very differently. Yeah. And he had already started planting those seeds before their season was even over about how terrible Bao was to him. So I guess signs were taken.
Yeah, and honestly, the minute she dated Zach, I just, that was done.
Well, they asked if people recognized them. The only interesting one was Eris talking about Essence Fest. He's like, the aunties were really excited. And they were big fans, and they told us that they were proud of us. And he's like, everybody asked about the attraction thing. And that's when I was like, Eris is going to his grave. He's never going to tell us why he wasn't attracted to Jasmine. I appreciate him for it. Paige says that everybody asked how she's doing. Like, are you happy? Are you okay? And I'm like, if I met Paige, I would ask that too. So I understand why she gets that reaction. You know, when people don't pay attention, and like they talk to you about Married at First Sight, I am really looking forward to being like, so whatever happened to Paige? And I can say, she has a beautiful baby with a good, like a great, looks like a great guy. She's happy with her life. I'm happy to say that because people really remember how Paige went through it.
Yeah. And also, Atlanta was the gateway for a lot of MAFS people. They've left now, but a lot of people watched that season. Because the clips, I think people couldn't believe the clips they were seeing.
Apparently, Bennett got messages from a porn star. Good for him. Then she's like, okay, it's time for reunion. How do you think the Denver people are feeling? Paige says that she was ready, by the time they got to reunion, she was ready for it to be done and over with. And what shocked her the most was the conversation with Pastor Dwight. And then we watch it again. It's like, once again, I forgot about this. she basically said it was too much and she just couldn't wait for it to be over. Rachel said that it was scary because she thought that they were going in strong, but knew that they would bring up the footage and they were going to have to rehash it. No, I'm sorry. They were already on shaky ground when they went into the reunion. If they had been strong, it would have been okay. But having to go in on shaky ground and then watch clips, it was not good. And then Sasha talks about Justin implying that Nate hit on him. That was shocking. So yeah.
Yeah, I think when they played the reunion clips, I'm reminded this is why we watch the show. Imagine playing this to someone who doesn't watch the show. And you just see the clips. You see the one of Pastor Dwight and Chris. You see the one of Nate and say, take that bass out of your voice, boy. I got this, and you just, it's a lot to see, and you're just like, what are you watching? And I'm like, yeah, this is why we watch. We watch for love, but, you know, still.
So Nate Justin thing. Still to this day, I'm like, what was Justin's motivation for that? Like, what was the fight that they were having before? It was all so confusing.
He asked that question all season about Justin. We had no idea what his motivation for a lot of things were, so that just came to a head. I think it was because when they asked if they hung out, and he was like, we hang out. Monique asked if there are any questions they hope that Kevin asked at the reunion, and Sasha mentions, like, Sasha was a real one this tell-all. She's like, I hope they talk about the producer with Becca and Austin. And they play a clip, and we are reminded, for anyone who was in doubt, that Becca specifically said that she has been a rift in our relationship. Jamie says, yeah, they need to, because that's wrong and that's messy. I'm like, all right, calm down, Jamie. We got an expert with someone. We're way beyond that point. This is just a producer. So the way Jamie is so wrong about Cameron and Claire, because she says she wants them to ask if they'll be comfortable watching each other date someone else because she feels like there's still feelings there. What? I have to be like, Cameron and Claire? Like, no.
Once again, how far have these people watched? I know I'm probably not allowed to say that anymore, but I'm like, if you watched all the way to the end, you would not be worried about Cameron and Claire feelings.
Man, even if he didn't, because at this point, they should have seen that he's not picking up her calls. They broke up pretty early on. Rachel wants to know, like, do you know what you signed up for? Good question, but the answer is no. We can answer that. Eris wants to ask Brennan if he thought he was doing the right thing to protect Emily instead of keeping it real. And this was so confusing to me because the whole thing, this whole thing was Eris saying that he was protecting Jasmine. So why does he want to ask Brennan that?
To me, Eris and Brennan are in the same spot, but somehow Eris didn't see it that way. Anyway, they're in a very similar situation, but they're handling it so differently? Actually, I feel like they're handling it the same and coming off so differently.
They're coming off differently, but his particular question is he wants to know if that was the right thing to do. You're convinced it's the right thing to do. Why are you convinced it's the wrong thing for Brennan? But whatever. Monique asks, what advice would they give someone marrying a stranger? Stasha's like, don't do it. Then she goes, I'm just kidding. And Monique is like, part of me thinks you're not kidding. But she says, just really commit and go all the way. Paige says, have an open mind. Eris says, let the walls down and be unguarded. Bennett says, be honest with yourself and have self-reflection. Doug says, put in the work, and that continues after the show. She asked them what their final thoughts were. Eris says, like, he's just really glad and never expected the relationships that he made. Jamie says, it's been amazing watching the show's progress, and she likes that they have ensembles now. Then Doug says, like, you know, all their highlights have been on camera. He starts tearing up that he wouldn't do it with anyone else. And then he brings out a ring and then he reproposes to her that he'd like to continue being married to her. They're all tearing up. They all think it's cute and they kiss. And she kept saying, I love when Jamie calls him Douglas. Yeah. So, I mean, we give Jamie a lot of shit, but honestly, 10 years. From a reality show, pretty great. So congratulations to them again because they have gone through like actual real stuff. So Eris and Stasha go get the champagne, which to me means that they knew what was about to happen. And then they get sparkling water for Paige and Doug. And Doug says it was only right to include the people that have watched them since day one. And honestly, he's not lying. They share everything else. Actually, Doug would have done the wrong thing to do this privately. And honestly, if he had done it privately, Jamie would have made him record it so that she can post it.
This is a dynamic that I do not understand. Well, is there anything that you guys keep for yourselves?
Maybe not. I used to think he was doing it under duress, but I think the seller tells me that he's fine with it. So, yeah. So Jamie says that she's sweating, but her first thought is wondering where he got the money for this is, which I thought was just not the right thing to say. Like, what? Think it, but don't say it. But also, don't you know how TV works? If they know you're going to do a proposal, they're going to chip in and help have a moment. You are their success story from season one. But also, don't say that. I didn't like that. I think it kind of ruined the moment. Not ruined, but eh.
It did kind of ruin the moment, and it's classic Jamie. Back in the day, so long ago, when there was another one of these type shows, and Jamie and Doug came on, and they had, you know, their 18th conversation about how she wasn't attracted to him, I was like, I just don't think it's a... She used to do it on Unfiltered, too. She would have these extended conversations. Oh, I was horrified, and then they would show the clip again, and I would think, is that good for your marriage? And... I feel like Jamie's always sabotaging her marriage through this nonsense.
Like just pushing and pushing to see how far Doug will take, but it seems like Doug can take a lot. But yeah, we ended the episode with that proposal, and there's no other place to go but up from there, and that was a nice way to end it all. And then we get the previews for the reunion, and my goodness. I hope the preview is not better than the actual episode.
Everything will be in part 2, though. In part 1, there will be no fireworks. It'll all be in part 2. Okay. All All right, guys. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at AltarCallMAFS. That's AltarCallMAFS. We love hearing from you guys on social media. Make sure to drop us your suggestions. If you've already taken, if you've already sent us a suggestion on Patreon, on Instagram, received, taken under advisement. Please, if you haven't, go ahead and send them.
Stay subscribed so you don't miss any new episodes. Please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And we will be here next week for part 1 of the reunion. Till then, bye guys.
Thanks everybody.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.